the grace of the King. The only word for grace is amazing. There's no other word for grace but amazing. No other explanation will do. There's no other word for grace but amazing. The Father looked beyond the failures I had made. He didn't notice all the times that I had not obeyed. And he overlooked all the scars of the sin I held in me, and the grace that he showed, it still amazes me. There's no other word for grace but amazing. Will do. Unmerited favor is the song that I sing. There's no other word for grace but amazing. There's no other word for grace. There's no other word.
All right, wonderful. Thank you, Mrs. Jones. And well, I'm telling you, the grace of God, that is so deep. When you start talking about the grace of God, you could spend your entire lifetime studying and trying to dig into the grace of God. You'd never even scratch the surface of what it's all about. But I know one thing, it is amazing that he would save a wretched sinner like you and I. And not only that, but love us and provide for us and protect us and do all the things that he does for us. And what a great God he is. Genesis chapter 37 is where we're going to be tonight. Genesis 37, if you're visiting with us, we've been doing a little bit of studying and preaching on Sunday nights on ministering to the multitudes. That's our theme for the year. And there's so much in Scripture that we need to learn about this great, great responsibility that we have as believers, and that is ministering for the cause of Jesus Christ. Now, the subject tonight, I know there's no way that I'll finish it tonight, so I'm going to finish it 2 weeks from tonight, because next Sunday night will be our Workers' Appreciation Sunday. And I want to talk to you about being a faithful worker in your church and next Sunday night. So we'll finish this up probably a couple of weeks from tonight. But the subject tonight is probably not one of the easiest things when it comes to ministering. Our subject for tonight is ministering to those who mistreat you. Ministering to those who mistreat you. Stand, if you would, with me tonight, Genesis chapter 37. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. Pardon me just a minute. I don't know what's going on, but I've got all of a sudden had a... I can't see. Is anybody else being affected by something? All right, let me step back just a minute. Maybe it's something up here. All right, here, one of you staff members may have to come up here and read this. All right. Let me see if I can keep going. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all the brethren, the scripture says they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Now, take just a minute and think about that just for a second. His own family, his own brothers hated him. You know, that has to be a heart-wrenching feeling to know that you've got a family member or someone that you love and care for that you know hates you. That's where Joseph was at this time. His brothers hated him. Go to verse 12. We'll come back and fill in, if not tonight, in a couple of weeks, verses 5 through 11, where Joseph has two separate dreams that he conveys to his brothers and to his father. But I want to skip that for right now and go to verse number 12. And his brethren went to feed their flocks in Shechem, and Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said unto him, Joseph did, here am I. And he said unto him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, they're departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. When they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him. And I want you to notice now their hatred has now turned to murder. They saw him and conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. We will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, and that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Now listen, these guys were so sorry that they not only hated him, wanted to kill him, they wanted to make money off of him now and sell him into slavery. Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, basically chicken feed. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. Now, I want to leave off our reading right there tonight. And we're going to look tonight and probably at least one more message on this subject, ministering to those who mistreat you. I think that Joseph would probably qualify as being mistreated. But you know, the story doesn't end where we left off. So what I want to do tonight is lay the groundwork for what I want to talk to you about ministering to those that mistreat you down the road. But we've got to get through the preliminary stuff and take a look at some things that prepared Joseph right now for what he would face 13 years later in his life. Father, bless our time together tonight, and we're grateful for the privilege of being in church. Have thine way in this service. Convict hearts, I pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. And you may be seated. Probably the most revealing aspect of a true minister of Jesus Christ is having the compassion and the mind of Christ in order to minister to those who have done you wrong. There's not a person in this building tonight that someone hasn't done you wrong at least once in your lifetime. Someone has done you wrong. Maybe they've stabbed you in the back. Maybe they've criticized you. Maybe they've slandered you. Maybe they've done something totally off the wall that was just ugly and hateful and mean to you and mistreated you. Maybe they manipulated you. Maybe they took advantage of you. Whatever your case may be, if it hasn't happened, it will happen. But yet, did you know that does not disqualify us from being a minister of Jesus Christ? You see, in some cases, those who mistreat you may be co-workers. In some cases, it might be friends or maybe even people you go to church with. In some cases, listen to me, like Joseph's case, it might even be people you love, like your own family, who may mistreat you and do evil against you. And in Joseph's case, they hated him. And their hate later turned to a spirit of murder. You see, people do make bad choices in life. And may I say to you, church, that many of those bad choices, many times, those choices hurt other people in the process. You see, sometimes those choices that they make find their source through anger. Something that may have happened to them, and they act in anger and hurt other people. You've heard the old saying, hurt people, hurt people. You see, maybe their hurt finds its source through anger. Maybe something that's happened to them a long time ago. Maybe their choices and bad choices, and maybe their hurtful choices that have hurt you, maybe came through guilt. Maybe they fell into sin. Maybe some things that were going on in their life and they begin to take it out on other people. Did you know that's a very common practice? That when people are in sin and people feel guilty about that sin, that guilt comes out by being ugly and hateful and vindictive toward other people to get it off of them so that they can vent on somebody. Sometimes it's guilt. Sometimes it's jealousy. People are jealous of others, what they have, their family, their possessions, or whatever it may be. Sometimes these choices come through hurts. Maybe there's been some wicked things happen to individuals in their lifetime. Maybe these choices come through disappointments. And may I say to you today, folks, people will disappoint you. That's the reason the Scripture says that you're not to put confidence in men, because they will disappoint you. And sometimes those hurts, sometimes the reason that people mistreat you, it comes through disappointments in their life. Sometimes loneliness is the case. Sometimes rejection is the case. Do you know there's so many people that have been rejected in their lifetime in some form, shape, or another? But can you imagine Joseph being rejected by his own family? Now listen, folks, most of you in here that, as far as I know, are pretty family-oriented. But can you imagine your own family turning against you? Your own brothers hating you to the point to where they wanted to see you dead? Most of us probably in our lifetime will never experience that type of hatred, that type of bitterness. But Joseph did. You see, sometimes people will wrong you or mistreat you ignorantly, but others will do it intentionally. You see, regardless of the process that a person follows in doing you wrong, may I say to you once again, it does not dismiss you. It does not dismiss me from the responsibility of being a minister for Jesus Christ. It does not dismiss us from that responsibility. You see, being a minister for Jesus is not dependent upon whether people treat me good or bad. That's not what ministry is dependent upon. You see, whether people treat me good or bad, I'm still to be a minister for Jesus, regardless of what they do to me, because I'm a believer. You see, some will do you more damage than others, but you've got to remember who you are and what you've been called to do, and you've been called to be a minister of Jesus Christ. You see, dear folks, Joseph was in a very, very precarious situation. Joseph is probably, considered by many as probably one of the greatest types of Jesus Christ in all the Bible. And Joseph, being a type of Christ, and remember we've learned that Jesus set forth an example and we should follow His steps. And so Joseph, being a type of Christ, then there's something that we can learn from him. There's obviously something that we can learn that he went through and the process that he followed as he ministered to people that mistreated him. May I remind you that Joseph told Jacob about the evil of his brothers. Did you notice there in the scripture there that as he spent time with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, that Joseph brought unto his father their evil report? You say, what is that like, preacher? Let me take you back to your childhood, all right? For those of you that had siblings, and maybe you were the younger of some of the children, and your older siblings did something, and one of the things they came to you and said, you better not tell mom and dad. And you know what normally happens, don't you? As soon as mom and dad come inside, the first thing they do is, oh, you're not going to believe what happened. You're not going to believe what they did. And man, they just unload. Now, the thing about it with boys, I had an older brother. I was the middle of three brothers. I had two younger sisters. But my oldest brother was 5 years older than I am. So the thing about it is, if I would spill the beans, I knew that there was a day coming where mom and dad would not be around. And normally that was a bad, bad time and a bad situation. But may I say to you that Joseph reported. He said, you mean he snitched on his brothers? Yeah, sure did, because they were doing wrong. Now you listen to me well tonight. It is not sin and it is not wrong for you to tell when somebody is doing wrong. So tired of people keeping their mouth shut when we know there's things going on that are wrong. Man, we got kids that won't tell another kid's parents that kid's doing wrong because we're afraid they won't like us. Well, what if they die? How about that? What if something happens because of what they're doing and they die? And now you've got to face their parents knowing you knew what was going on. We got to open up. We got to talk. We got to speak. You know what Joseph did? Joseph spoke out. He told his father about the evil that his brothers were talking about and doing. May I also remind you that Joseph was favored by Jacob. Now, obviously, there was a reason that he was favored by Jacob. Matter of fact, it was so obvious that Jacob had him a coat made of many colors. This didn't go over real well with the older brothers as well. You see, Joseph was hated by his brothers. They spoke out against him. And the straw that broke the camel's back were the dreams that Joseph dreamed. He said, what are those dreams, preacher? Well, the first dream that he had, he said that God gave him a dream and his sheaf out in the field stood up straight. And all the other sheaves, he said, by the fact, he said to his brothers, your sheaves bowed down to my sheaf. And that gets pretty pointed. They didn't like that. Matter of fact, the scriptures, look at it. Look at it if you would. When he told them that in verse 5, and Joseph dreamed a dream and he told it his brothers, the Bible says they hated him yet the more. Folks, listen, they already hated him. Now they hated him more. Kind of sounds like we might be going toward bitterness, don't we? Kind of sounds we might be heading toward murder. They hated him the more because he said, my sheaves stood up and your sheaves bowed down to my sheep. Wait a minute, it's not over. God gave him another dream. And this time he's going to incorporate daddy in this one. He said, now, this next dream that I had, he said, I saw the sun and the moon. And he said, and 11 stars, and the sun and the moon and all 11 stars made obeisance to me. Boy, that didn't go over real well either. Matter of fact, he went and told his daddy, and it went over so bad, his own father rebuked him over it. Now, what I'm saying to you folks, this whole scenario looks like it's going south real quick, and it's all family related. Daddy rebuked him. The brothers were so full of hatred. They were so full of criticism. They were so full of bitterness. They were so full of envy. And it worked its way to now all of that had been bound up in them for so long. Now they said, ah, behold, this dreamer cometh. Let us slay him. And folks, you got to be pretty angry and pretty bitter and pretty hateful to want to kill somebody. And these brothers wanted to slay him. And listen, not only that, throw him in a pit and forget about him. Like he was a piece of trash somewhere. They didn't care about him. You see, not only did his brothers hate him, as I mentioned, Jacob even rebuked him. Joseph's whole family was now in turmoil. It seemed to be that Joseph was everybody's whipping post. He seemed to be the target of everybody's voice and criticism. Well, Joseph was attacked by his brothers, thrown into a pit, and sold like a common slave to a bunch of Ishmaelites, a bunch of Midianites heading into Egypt. Joseph is sold to these men, and then when they get to Egypt, they sell him again to a man by the name of Potiphar. Joseph, while serving in Potiphar's house, Potiphar's wife begin to make false accusations against him. You say, what false accusations? She made a false accusation that he was making a pass at her and made that accusation to her husband, and her husband got so angry, he threw him in prison. He said, boy, this guy just got bad luck. He just got bad luck. No, this don't have anything to do with luck. You see, the thing about it is, Potiphar now throws him in prison. Joseph now spends 2 years in prison for something he didn't do. Well, he meets a couple of old boys that irritated Pharaoh. Pharaoh had them thrown in prison. One was a butler, one was a baker. While they were in prison, guess what they had? Must have had pizza the night before because both of them had dreams. And Joseph interpreted their dreams. One of them we know, the baker, it was... He said, you ain't going to make it, friend. He said, when you get out of here, Pharaoh's going to take your head off your shoulders. He told the butler, now when you get out of here, you're going to be restored to your position. But he told the butler, he said, when you get out of here, remember me. You know what the butler did when he got out? forgot him. Yeah, forgot him. How long? 2 years? 2 years he sat in prison after he had done something for this guy and helped him get out. This guy forgets him. Doesn't even return any kind of concern or love toward him. Well, a couple of years go by. Pharaoh must have had Papa John's as well, because he had a dream. Boy, there's a lot of dreaming going on, isn't there? Pharaoh has a dream. Nobody can interpret it. And then all of a sudden the butler goes, "Hey, hey, I remember when I was at, oh, by the way, Pharaoh, when you threw me in prison, I remember. I met a guy there, I had a dream, and he told me and interpreted my dream exactly the way it happened." Pharaoh said, "Bring him here." Joseph goes before Pharaoh and interprets Pharaoh's dream. Joseph is then delivered from prison and made second in command over all of Egypt. You see, Pharaoh was so excited about the dreams that Joseph had interpreted for him. And basically, if you're new to the Bible, let me just simply say, basically the dream said this: 7 years of famine, or 7 years of prosperity, 7 years of famine. That's basically what the two dreams were about. And Joseph said, "Now listen, you need to get somebody. You need to get somebody to store up, put in store here, and prepare for the 7 years of famine." Well, you know, I've read this story many times, and I decided I was going to adopt the same philosophy that Pharaoh had. If you suggest it, you're in charge of it. Hey, that was just fun. Hey, nobody else. Hey, then you know what? That's a good suggestion, and Joseph, you be in charge of it. And he did. You see, listen to me very carefully, church. By the time Joseph makes it to this point, to second in command over Egypt, he's been wronged by his father, who rebuked him. He's been wronged by his brothers, who sold him into slavery. He was wronged by the Ishmaelites, who purchased him like a stinking animal and sold him like an animal. He was wronged by Potiphar, Potiphar's wife, who lied about him, had him put in prison. He was wronged by the butler, who forgot him for 2 years. All of these people wronged him. You see, if anybody had the right to be vindictive, Joseph qualified. If anybody had the right to be bitter and hateful against people who wronged them, Joseph did. Almost every relationship he had in life had gone sour. He's the one that seems to be suffering for it. And oh, by the way, did I tell you also that his mother died when he's a kid? Can I tell you that his own mother, he didn't grow up with a mama like some of you have grown up with? You say, "Man, this guy, just everything just kind of going south on him." Yeah, it almost sounds like it's worth giving up, doesn't it? But he didn't. All of these things happening in his life. You see, surely it was about time for Joseph, now that he's second in command, to get even. Now it's time for him to start mistreating some people. Think about this, church. When Joseph was elevated to second in command, what do you think the butler thought? The old boy that forgot him for 2 years, now the guy that he forgot and ignored is now over him and can have him thrown in prison. What do you think the butler thought? What do you think Potiphar's wife thought? What do you think Potiphar thought? What do you think he was thinking? What do you think the prison guards were thinking down there that may have mistreated him, spit on him, or kicked him? You think they may have maybe felt like relocating cities or relocating countries? But can I say to you, church, we have no record in Scripture that Joseph ever even addressed these people. It seems that he simply just trusted God that it was all part of his divine will and divine plan for his life. Hey, Joseph's no boy at this time. Years have gone by now. You see, Joseph went in at about 17. He's now approaching 30 years old. You see, years now have passed by since he was mistreated by his brothers and sold into slavery. And although Joseph had power and authority now, he still retained his character. And as far as we know, he didn't do anything to Potiphar or his wife or the butler or the guards or anybody that we have record of. It just seems like he just let it go. It just seems like he just counted, okay, Lord, this is for whatever reason. I don't understand why all of these people have mistreated me. I'm just going to accept it as part of your divine providence for my life. Boy, wouldn't it be wonderful if there was ever another person like this? Wouldn't it be great if it was possible that there might be anybody else ever created that would have this same attitude? Now, with that said, church, tonight, I want you to think with me. I want to give you three little quick things here to think about, just for us to chew on. I think about here about Joseph and what's going to lead up now, what's going to happen years down the road, that when he's going to face the ultimate test, when he's reunited with his family, and he has the upper hand in their lives. But I want us to look at three quick things tonight about Joseph, just for us to chew on. Look, if you would, back in Genesis 37 and verse number 2. The first thing I want to say to you is this. First of all, Joseph was not afraid to speak the truth. I said Joseph was not afraid to speak the truth. Did you notice in verse number 2, the Bible says, "And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report." He was not afraid that when he saw and heard wrong, he reported it. And by the way, did you know who he reported it to? He reported it to the person that could do something about it. He didn't go to some of his little play buddies and tell them what his brothers were doing. He went to the authority that could do something about it. You see, he didn't go and begin to talk about his brothers. He went to the father and told him about his brother's evil report. You see, he had love and respect for authority. You will never find one time in all the things, all the people that mistreated Joseph, even when his father rebuked him, even if he thought that daddy was wrong, no record that he ever talked back to his daddy. No record that he ever hid out anywhere waiting for one of his brothers to get alone so he could jack their jaw or hit them on the head with a stick or put a snake in their bed or something. Don't have any record that Joseph ever did any of that. You see, but Joseph was not afraid to speak the truth. Oh, may I say to you also, that I'm sure that when he did speak about his brother's evil report or spoke of their evil doings and their evil sayings, don't you think for one second that he knew, oh boy, there's going to be some rough times in the old house tonight when they find out that I told daddy about their evil report. See, I do remember when I was a child, because I remember my brother telling me, you just wait. You wait till mom and dad are not here, and you're going to be sorry. And boy, you know what? There were times I was sorry. I won't do it again, but I did it again. You know, you can always do all those kind of things and, you know, and make all these promises you're not going to keep. And it's what I did when I was a kid. But may I say to you, Joseph understood that there would be some uncomfortable times. Oh, yeah. There's going to be some uncomfortable times come, but you know what he still did? He still spoke the truth. When evil came up, he spoke. And he went to the authority when he spoke the truth. But may I say to you, he also spoke the truth in love. You're not going to convince me that Joseph didn't love his brothers. I know he did. I know he cared for them, even though they didn't care for him. They hated him. They were bitter against him. Did you notice the scripture said in verse number 4, they hated him so much they couldn't even speak peaceably unto him? It's almost like that they gave him the silent treatment. It's almost like that when it came supper time, they didn't even talk to him. They didn't even have communication with him. They despised him so much. Because you know what it was? He spoke truth. He spoke when things were wrong. May I say to you tonight, church, to speak truth, though people may not like it or like to hear it, is not wrong and it's not uncompassionate. Where do we get this idea that speaking out against wrong that people are doing to other people is uncompassionate? And that we're supposed to be quiet about it. Folks, you know what? It's not, hey, Joseph spoke out. He spent time. And may I say to you, you're going to spend time with people as well. And you're going to hear them speak an evil report against a brother. And you know it's not wrong for you to say, you know what, my brother, that's not Christ-like. That's not of God. Or somebody posting something on their Facebook page or texting someone else and you see that and somebody shows, you know what, it's not wrong for you to say, brother, that's not even of God. That's not Christ-like to be talking about someone in that manner. You see, most of us, what we'll do is we know about it, we read it, so what we do is we do nothing about it. We just let it go. Do you know that's how people get hurt? Do you know that's how people get defamed? Do you know that's how people, that ruffles come and things happen? And the thing about it is, you'd be amazed at how many people knew about it before it ever came to that. And could have done something about it to stop it. But you know what? We just don't want to get involved. We don't want to get involved in anything. Oh yeah, we want to get involved if it has to do with us. And see, the thing about it is, if somebody posted something about us, I'm telling you, we'd call the National Guard. We'd be after them. But you know, a lot of times when we find out something about somebody else, we say nothing. By the way, it seems like I read somewhere in the Bible, it says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. If you know that you ought to say something about it, then you know what you need to do? You need to say something about it. You've heard it said many times. It's called tough love. See, I don't like that kind of love. But you know what? That's the kind of love that we need to love some people with. They may not like it, but it's for their own good. You say, but preacher, they might get caught. Yeah, they might. And it might be for their own good. But they may not like you. Well, sorry. You know what? Down the road somewhere, they may appreciate I said something about it. It may save them a lot of heartache. You see, part of ministering to those who've mistreated you is having the courage to communicate truth with them regardless of what the response is going to be. It's okay to speak out. It's okay to say something. Joseph was not afraid to speak the truth. Oh, can I say this to you? You say, well, what's the big deal about that? It's going to come in real handy a few years later. Because this same character trait that he displayed now is going to come back years down the road. And it's going to be beneficial for those that he communicates truth to. You see, the thing about it is we're talking about a character trait here. It's what we're talking about. God's not doesn't want us to be secretive about sin and about things that are going on, we know wrong, we're to speak out. It's okay. Joseph was not afraid to speak truth. Let me show you the second thing. Look in verse 13. Look in Genesis 37, 13. May I say to you, number two, Joseph was willing to be used. Look at this in verse 13. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he, Joseph, said to him, Joseph, or to Jacob, here's what he said. Here am I. What are you going to do, Daddy? Now, wait a minute. Now, stop. Stop. I don't think some of us are clear on this. He knew his brothers hated his guts. And yet he was still saying, okay, Daddy, I'll go find them. I'll go out there alone with 11 brothers. You think he stood a chance? Hey, folks, you're not going to convince me he didn't know what he was walking into. He knew these guys didn't like him. But you know something? He was still willing to be used. He was still willing to be used. And one of the things, church, that we've learned about ministering is people will use you. They will. They will use you. You say, I don't like to be used. I don't either, but it does happen. They will use you. But let me say something to you tonight. He loved his father and wanted to please his father. And may I say to you tonight, dear church, your heavenly Father wants you to love him and please him too. He wants you to care. He wants your hands to be his hands and your love to be his love. You see, he loved his father, but he loved his brothers in spite of their attitude. Would you take your Bible for just a moment, turn to Luke chapter 6, hold your place in Genesis 37, and look in Luke chapter 6 for just a moment. Luke chapter 6, verse 32. Luke 6, verse 32. Give me just a moment. You need to see this. Jesus speaking here says this. Luke 6, 32. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. And listen carefully. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. You say, what does that say? He says, what are you displaying if you only love those that love you? He says, now you want to go the second mile and you want to display sincere ministry characteristics? Love them that hate you. Love them that despisefully use you. You see, church, tonight, Joseph went out at the command of his father, willing to go into the teeth of his brothers, knowing that they despised him, knowing that they hated him. You see, Joseph knew this. Yet because he loved his father and he loved his brothers, he went anyway. You see, what this is, church, is godlike character. And this character would be tested over and over and over again in Joseph's life. Can I say this to you for just a moment? Joseph wasn't born this way. He wasn't born with these characteristics. You say, well, where'd he get them? He chose to be this way. He wasn't born this way. He chose to be this way. And you know what? In order to choose to be this way, you're going to have to work at it. Because you know what? It's going to be different. It's anti your nature to minister to people that mistreat you. Because you know what you want to do if you let the flesh get a hold of you? You're going to go puncture their tires. You're going to go bust their windshield out. You want to do all these things that are, if you give in to depravity, you will do them. You read something somebody wrote ugly about you, you know what you want to do? You want to write something ugly back. And folks, listen, I have never understood. I see it all the time. That people, Christian people, yap, 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 back and forth. about over the craziest things. Can I say something to you? Let it go. I got more. Listen, my time is more valuable than to sit in front of a computer and yap at somebody on the other side of town because they don't like something I did. My time's more valuable than that. You say, but preacher, what if they said this about you? Yeah. Now listen. You say, when are you going to do something about it? They start messing with my family, I will do something about it. But listen, if they want to belittle me and they want to speak ugly about it, let them go ahead. But don't mess with my family though. Okay? Because when you start messing with my wife and children, then you are messing with me. Amen. Now, let's get back to our story. I'm just saying Joseph wasn't born this way. He chose to be this way. He understood who this was all about. And it wasn't about him. It was about the Lord. And he got a hold on that. Well, let me give you the third thing quickly and we're done. Okay? I said, first of all, Joseph was not afraid to speak the truth. And listen to me, folks. You must not be afraid to speak truth. And I don't mean proclaiming the gospel. I'm talking about when you hear an evil report, you need to speak up. You need to. People start criticizing one another. You need to speak up. Listen, I'm not saying that you be ugly to somebody, but you need to speak up and say, brother, that's not right. Sister, that's not right. Shouldn't be doing this. This is not of God. This is not going to please the Lord. You see, Joseph wasn't afraid to speak up. Joseph was willing to be used. And then may I say to you, number three, and you'll find this, go if you would, to chapter 39. Chapter 39 and verse 2. Jump ahead just a little bit. I want to say to you, number three, Joseph possessed a unique spirit. Joseph possessed a unique spirit. Chapter 39, verse 2. I want you to notice what it says here right at the beginning. And the Lord was with Joseph. I don't need to say any more. And the Lord was with Joseph. Now let me say something to you, church. He was not going to be with somebody that has a stinking attitude or a critical spirit or had a spirit of vindictiveness towards somebody. The scripture said the Lord was with him. Now that ought to say something right there. That speaks volumes about someone's character. You see, Joseph had a non-revengeful spirit. So how do we know about that? Read ahead of me and go find out what did he do to the people that mistreated him once he had the authority to do something against them. Go find out what did he do to them. You'll find out, as far as we can tell, he didn't do nothing to them. He just accepted it as part of God's will for his life. How many times something ever happened in your life and it just seems like, you know, when crisis comes, does it ever happen to you like it happens in my life? It just kind of comes in waves. But also, can I say to you that I've also, when I experience the blessings of God, they seem to come in waves also. But it just seems like Joseph is living his entire life in this hurricane. It's just like everything is getting out of hand. His brothers hate him. His daddy rebukes him. He gets accused, falsely accused, thrown into prison, forgotten. All these things are happening to him in his life. And you know what most people do? They say, Lord, why is this happening to me? Why is all this happening to me? You know, Lord, I'm kind of a good person. I'm not a bad person. Why is all this happening? You know, I've had people say, preacher, I don't understand. Why is all this happening to me? I don't know. Why did it happen to Joseph? Why? Didn't do anything against anybody. He wasn't evil. He wasn't destructive. He wasn't critical. Everything seemed to happen to him. Everything. Everything bad evil, wicked, even to the point that some of his own family wanted to kill him. But he had a non-revengeful spirit. May I say to you, he also had a non-confrontational spirit. Do you know when his brothers, and again, you say, well, preacher, sometimes you got to read between the lines. I understand that. But it seems to me that if God wanted me to know that, that he would have told me that. Did you know that when they grabbed him and stripped him of his coat, I can't find anywhere in here where he was yelling and cussing at them. I can't find anywhere where he smacked and kicked and bit. I don't find any place. I don't find any place in Scripture where it says Joseph did anything. It just almost seems like he walked right into it. And it just happened and he just accepted it as God's will. When are we going to get to the place that we're just going to accept what God's will is? He said, preacher, why do all these bad things happen to a good person like me? I don't know. Why did they happen to Joseph? Now, the thing about it is, the thing about the story and life of Joseph is we see the beginning and the end, right? You see, we see why a lot of these things happen, because God was working out his will to put him in a place to save his own people. So we can see the end result. The problem is, we can't see the end of our results. We can't see ahead in the future. But let me tell you something. I'm here to tell you that God is working all things together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. I don't know why things are happening in your life. I don't know why things are happening in my life. But I do know this, that if I'll just keep going and keep serving God and just say, Lord, I don't understand, but obviously it's all part of your divine pattern for my life, and just keep going. Joseph possessed a very unique spirit. A non-revengeful spirit, a non-confrontational spirit, a non-critical spirit, a non-accusing spirit. You know, I don't find anywhere in the Bible when they sold him and he got to Potiphar's house, he said, Mr. Potiphar, I got to tell you something. My brothers are sorry as gourd guts. They're mean. They treated me terrible. They took my coat and threw me down into a pit. Sold me. Man, they couldn't get but 20 pieces of silver for me. I don't hear. Listen, folks, unless you're reading another Bible I'm reading, I don't find any of that. Nowhere in Scripture did he have an accusing spirit. Never accused his brothers and family to anybody. Take your Bible for just a moment. Let's look at something real quick. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Titus 2, 14. Let's look see what the New Testament calls a unique spirit. Titus 2, 14, real quick. Are you there? Verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen, verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify to him, unto himself, listen now, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. See that word peculiar? It has a sister. And peculiar sister is called unique. It's the same spirit Joseph had that God says he desires in us. A peculiar people. Different. You think that some people, when they found out what Joseph's brothers were doing, you think there might have been some that saw how his brothers treated him, that maybe some of his next door neighbors said, you know what? Don't take one of them brothers and push him out in front of a herd of camels or something. I'm sure that he probably got some bad advice. But you know, never did a thing. Never did anything. Let me say this in finishing, church. Joseph, as far as we can tell in Scripture, did not speak ill of his father, did not speak ill of his brother, did not speak ill of Potiphar, or Potiphar's wife, or the guards, or the butler, or anybody that we can tell from Scripture. You see, Scripture records nothing that Joseph says again until, from this place here, until we see him speaking up against Potiphar's wife. As far as we can tell, he didn't speak up against any of these people that mistreated him. Why? But he was willing to speak against, he was willing to speak truth. He was willing to be used. But may I say to you, church, if we're going to minister to those that mistreat us, you're going to have a peculiar spirit. You're going to have a unique spirit. Now, if it hasn't happened, it will. I tell you one thing. When I read the life and the story of Joseph, I get overcome every time I read it. I've read it hundreds and hundreds of times in my Christian life. And every time I read it, I just shake my head and think, Lord God, if I could just be like this man, if I could just be a person that would be willing to speak truth when I know the truth and speak it to the authorities and the people that I know can do something about it, if I'd just be willing just to be used. He said, Father, I'll go where my brothers, knowing how they despised him, he was still willing to go out by himself and submit himself to that. But he had a very unique spirit. Now, when we gather next time, we're going to move into what does all this mean tonight? You say, preacher, why did you preach all this to us? Because something incredible is going to happen in his life, and he's going to need every single one of these because the ultimate test is coming. You see, it's one thing when a friend mistreats you. It's one thing when a coworker mistreats you. It's a totally different ball game when your family mistreats you. Would you bow your heads together with me tonight? Heads bowed, eyes closed. How many tonight can say, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm saved, I've been born into the family of God. I want you to put your hand way up high and say, that's me. No question.